is my prayer for all of us here that during this Lenten period, we won't be worried about what we have to give up, or even the challenge of what we have to take up, but that this period of Lent will see for us a time of spiritual growth. So thank you very much. May your Holy Spirit fall on all of us. Our prayers to our God this morning. And the reason for that prayer is that we're going to spend a few minutes in the Garden of Eden. Then we're going to go to the desert and join Jesus at a time of trial. We love the Garden of Eden story for a number of reasons. I had a message from Bev, and she sends her love to everyone, and she says, I've got to do that gospel and that awful Genesis reading. It's fantastic because, and I did say I wasn't going to say this, but Holy Spirit fall on me. It's funny, isn't it, how the way the lectionary this morning challenges us with the creation and the temptation is that Adam is seen as the character who was made by God, and equally Jesus came into this world made by God. And of course, Adam was meant to be, as Carol recognized so beautifully, in the garden, tilling the garden, looking out of the garden, just making sure that paradise was sustained so that we could all enjoy it. But of course, we know that things change. And this is suddenly when Eve comes into the story and is like, hold your horses. You know, it's not entirely Eve's fault. But for most of us, we've been told that that's the case. And of course, Jesus is the second Adam who comes to rescue us. But I don't want us to focus on whose fault it was, or if anyone's fault, really. What I want us to focus on is how we do get tested in life. And in Matthew's Gospel, he does talk about the fact that temptation is good for you. And I can assure you this morning that it is, as long as you don't get it. Yes? Because along our life, whatever we do, will always be times when we will be tested. And the importance is that we do need the Holy Spirit with us to enable us to go through these times of testing. So, start off with our contrast this morning. Welcome to the garden. Absolutely beautiful. Everything is perfect. And all we need to do is till the soil. We had some instructions to avoid the tree in the centre of the garden. Not difficult. It's not as if you had a memory failure and you suddenly thought, which tree was it again? And so we thought, right, okay, I think I'll try that one. But clearly, the instructions were there. And what we see in this first story telling us about a way of explaining tradition as to what happened at the very beginning of time, what we see, the first thing, is disobedience. And we know that that doesn't lead us down a very good path. And then we move to the setting of the desert. Along comes Jesus, and he has just been baptized, he's just been confirmed that he is the beloved Son of God, and he is led into the desert. Now he goes into the desert. He has no instructions to follow, but what he is doing is preparing for his Father's work. The fascinating thing as well with that is that we're only told about the three trials, the three temptations that Jesus had. Now, the first one is the bread. We've known, and we're told, it's after 40 days, so he would absolutely be starving, really, really hungry, and the temptation would be to turn the stone, because they do look like some of the stones in the desert, turn those stones into bread. Now, from what I shared with you earlier on in a bit of my confession about what I would find to give up harm and then you realize that what would happen to me if there was a jar of marmalade next door, but I would certainly fail on this first hurdle. Because the thought of having bread in Jesus' mind, he must have thought, I can do this. But he knew that actually bread was going to feature a lot in his ministry. So he resisted the temptation by quoting back to the devil, remembering the words that he had learned through his eye, to say to the devil that he should not live by bread alone. Okay, no problems with that one. Let's just go to one even more challenging. And he comes along and he is asked to actually just command his angels to bear him up, just throw yourself on and walk after you. And Jesus actually once more quotes scripture very clearly saying that you should not put the Lord your God to the test. And of course, you look around you and you're told all of this is yours. Why would Jesus be tempted by that? Because all of it belongs to him. So not much of a challenge. But let's just go back to the bread. Jesus goes on and he also says he is the bread of life. So if anyone who hungers, come to him. Anyone who thirsts, come to him. And they will never be hungry or thirst again. Why would Jesus want to stand at the top of the temple when in fact in 3 days he told his disciples that the walls are going to crumble and he can rebuild them again? Not much of a test, you say. But then the authority, all this is yours. Jesus realizes that it is important to remember scripture and to quote scripture back. Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus sets for us this morning all the things in our lives that mean something to us. We know that bread is important. We cannot do without, not bread, but we know where food, things like that, physical being is important to us, and we cannot do without it. He challenges us this morning because there are many churches across the world who will begin that time of fasting to think about things in our lives that actually it isn't all about us. The second thing is that sense of his identity. Who is he? He can throw himself because he has angels to come and to pick him up. But Jesus is saying to us this morning, we know who we are. We are children of God. And we know that we have that sense of belonging where we know that God will look after us, so the angels will come and support us. And then finally, the authority. With whose authority do we stand here today and say that we have a mission and a purpose in our lives? So if we're not observing the fasting, are there other things that we can do? We can do charitable deeds. We can actually help other people through clothing, as we made an appeal for coats this morning. We can support charities. There are various things that we can do. But let's just go back to Jesus' example. He showed us three ways, and I'd like us to consider these three ways as we go through our own Lenten journey. First thing, Jesus entered the desert, and he enters the time of prayer. He knows that he has a job to do, and what he does. Up his mountain last week, he's in his desert, and he is here praying to God. He's praying to God because he knows that he cannot do this on his own. And that's where we need the Holy Spirit to be with us. The second thing is that he's able to quote scripture back. Now, I'm not expecting us to necessarily go down that road, but what I'd like us to do through this Lenten journey is to actually see ourselves in the scriptures. Read the word that he, the words that are here in the Bible, and help to deepen our faith in Christ. Because Jesus was able to quote way back from Deuteronomy, as he said, "Away with you, because you should only worship your God and serve only him." And the third and final thing for this one is to keep focus on God. There is so much around us that distracts us. But the focus has to be that we keep our eyes on God. And the reason for this time of temptation is an example to show us that we can bless each other by praying, reading scripture, and keeping that focus on God. And what actually happens at the end is that deep spiritual growth, and where we learn that actually what we do, the power actually comes from God. And through this Lenten period, praying, reading God's word, and staying focused, the glory belongs to God. So, three very difficult things if you're not someone who spends time in prayer, reading the scriptures, or staying focused on God. But there are things as Christians through our lives we can deepen our worship time and our lives together. We've got some challenges that are set to us. But we've also got things that we can do, things that we're already doing, that we can begin to deepen our faith in our Lord Jesus. And one of the things, before I invite Stu just to come and to talk to us a few more minutes about this idea of creating a sense of change in our lives, a sense of space where we try to do something different, is I'd like us to also to consider this time of Lent, not necessarily about denial, not giving yourselves all those special treats, but I want us to see this time of Lent as a time of preparation. Jesus was going on his ministry, and he went into the desert, and he spent 40 days in preparing, ready to go out to face the world. And all we're asking this month is for us to use this time as a time of preparation, to be prepared to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So over the next 40 days, as we journey together, we will pray together. We will read the scriptures together. We will keep focus on God as we prepare for Easter. A time. time when we can celebrate our Lord's resurrection. But in doing that, we're on a journey. And let's listen to some of the ways in which we can make that journey together and share things that actually mean something in our context today. I'm just going to hand you over to Stu for a few minutes.
Well, consider yourselves handed over. Living Lent 2020 is not a contest. It's not about how many points you can score and whether you're going to get a gold star like in Sunday school. Living Lent 2020 is something that we're doing as a community. It's an invitation to a journey of change together. I'm really grateful that six people in the congregation with various different interests put a lot of work into those multicolored sheets that you'll see out in the narthex, outlining six possible areas of change. Those same sheets are available on the church website, so if you didn't want to take the paper home or you forgot or there was one that you wanted to know about, thanks to Hank, they're available on the church website and you can take a look at them. What we're inviting you to do is to look at those sheets, and I know that many of you are doing some of those things already. And if you are, please put your name on the sheet for that action. And if you're somebody who thinks, this is a change that I would really like to try to make, put your name there too. So it's both a question of intention and a bit of a statement that we're making together as a group. Now, I know that some of these things are not easy. In fact, most of them aren't easy. And so what I'm hoping is that we'll go through this Lenten period trying various of these changes, and that experience, both the successes and the failures, are things that we'll talk about at the end of it. Because many of the changes that we need to make are not just a matter of our individual decisions. Many of them are the systems that are out there. Alternative transport and taking a bus, if you live in Whistle Bend, is very different than if you live on Falcon Avenue or Falcon Drive in Copper Ridge and have three buses an hour to take. And so it is that these changes are going to be different for each one of us. So there's no question that this is a test you have to pass. It's rather how, as the body of Christ, and we are together the body of Christ, how we together try to make these changes, share the experience, and perhaps at the end of it, pushes for some of the systematic changes that we need to make it easier for everyone. So please think about it. There are sign-up sheets under each of the actions, and sign up after worship today, or if you need a little bit more time, sign up anytime during Lent. Because like Jesus paying the workers, it doesn't matter whether you start at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, you're going to get the same wage. Thank you.